What's up, people? Walk On Army. We're out here. It's the live show for Minnesota Week. Haven't been as consistent with these as I'd like to, but life gets in the way. It's a little bit of extra on the week, right? We sit down, we go live. The listeners, anybody who can at the time, joins in, asks questions. We have conversation. We talk it out together, and here's the repost of the episode. Let's have a day. Let's go. It is the week 12 walk-on live show, week 11 walk-on live show. No, week 12, because there's a week zero. Hell, I don't know. Week 13. Yeah, it's week 12 because of the bye week. So here we are. The hat turn. It's just because it works with my glasses and the headphones better. Otherwise, halfway through, I start getting a massive headache. I have a dent in my head from wearing this headset all day, because I basically just use this as my computer audio. So we have some people in the chat already. Participation off the chain, through the roof is actually what I meant to say. Off the chain's good too. Have you guys seen the Key and Peele? What a way to start to open up the show. Put the pussy on the chain wax. I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not going to go into it. Just search that. Key and Peele chain wax. Hilarious video. It's about to get real. Tall Hawk Bunk is the username there. I don't know if it's about to get real or not. I will say this. It's gotten real in the Big Ten West, my friends. It's gotten real in the Big Ten West. And who would have thunk it? Who would have thought that we'd be here? Purdue, Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois all sit at 4-3 in the conference. Illinois still has the tiebreaker over Iowa, Minnesota right now. Wait, but they just lost to... Am I wrong? Who's the other team? Purdue... They just lost too. So maybe, how is Purdue not on top right now? Or do they have less? I don't know. Illinois is going to lose to Michigan this week. And that is going to put Iowa at the top as long as they take care of business in Minneapolis. That's it. How's the hand doing? Oh, we've got some people who are really keyed in. I guess I'll just give you a not great. That's my hand. It looks like someone stuck a knife through it. That happened from bar muscle up, so just don't do CrossFit and you're good on that one. The Iowa Hawkeyes have a chance at the Big Ten West. At first, no one wanted to win except Illinois. Now everyone wants to win except Illinois. You're right. They just absolutely shit the bed against Michigan State. They go back home and they drop one to Purdue. I thought there was a chance. I put money on it. I said it on the podcast. I thought that Purdue could absolutely go and win that game. They can score points. Illinois defense is good. They gave up 28 or 31. That's a lot of points. They now face a really tough Michigan team. Michigan may be playing the most consistent football, and I know Ohio State has been unbelievably lights out, but they might be playing the most consistent football in the Big Ten right now. That is going to be an insane matchup. I believe that happens next week. So, yeah, Jason, you are right. I didn't say it's a, you know, I'm about to be a dad, right? So I'm really entering the whole do as I say, not as I do region of my life, right? Which is not true. If I was going to tell any of you guys to do something, I would, fitness wise, I would tell you to do the thing that you're going to be able to do the most consistently. If that's CrossFit, good for you. Fuck the boat, get the pig. You might get splinters on the first part of that one, but I'm all about getting that pig. And Floyd is up for grabs, boys and girls. Kevin and Drake's favorite trophy, I believe. Many people's favorite trophy. The heaviest of the four trophies, by the way, for those wondering who have never gotten to hold them in person. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. They have an elite defense similar to us. Our offense isn't good by any means. We're going there. Have you guys looked at the weather for Saturday? Have you guys seen it? I saw John Miller put up that it's going to be a high of 17 degrees. A high of 17 degrees. A low of 4. 4. This could be the de facto Big Ten West champion, like to get to the Big Ten West champion spot right here. And there could be 30,000 people in the stadium because it's dangerous to be out in that temperature. Like, it's not going to be warm. Mark Bowman on YouTube says, does Iowa's defensive strategy change at all if Tanner Morgan is unable to play? Well, I would say this, and I haven't looked at Minnesota as deeply as I will have by Wednesday when we do the preview pod. Not that we do a lot of in-depth preview anyway, but I'm pretty sure that Minnesota's offense runs through Mo Ibrahim, right? He went out last year in the first game of the year. I think they were playing either Michigan or Ohio State, and he was playing really well and running really well, and he tore his ACL, or it was either ACL or Achilles. Missed the entire rest of the season, decided to come back. Huge, like pretty impressive NFL prospect. I think NFL teams are high on him as well. And he's really good at running the football. They have a decent offensive line. They do seem to have some bit of a little brother complex with Iowa, similar to Nebraska and Iowa State over the last going on a decade now, right? Unfortunately, we gave one back to Iowa State this year, but Iowa always finds a way against the Gophers, at least since 2014. They find a way to retain Floyd and beat the Gophers, whether it's there or in Kinnick, right? And there's been a lot of close games. Walk it back, right? Walk it back. In 2015, we beat them 40-35. I've got the perfection 12-0 poster right behind the thing. And the Cedar Rapids Gazette article after that was Big 10th. We were in the blacked out unis. Defense was playing lights, pretty lights out that year. And Minnesota could score, and they did. It's 35 points. We scored 40. We were able to hold them off. The next year, 2016, we would have went to Minnesota, and I think we ended up beating them like 17-10, one score ball game, right? My senior year, it came back to, what did we do to them in Iowa, Minnesota, 2017? Oh, no, that was 17-10. So Iowa, Minnesota, 2016. We beat them 14-7 in Minneapolis. It's a one-score ball game every time out. I think we did crush them one of those years. If Tanner Morgan's unable to play, or if he is playing, I say we load that box. I say we load it up. Make him throw. He's not a bad quarterback. He's better than Graham Mertz. I was more than happy to let Graham Mertz throw all over our defense because eventually mistakes were going to be made. That was the case. Tanner Morgan, he can probably do a little better than Graham Mertz can. I don't know if they have the receiving weapons. Again, haven't looked at it that closely. But if we can stop the run, it's going to be a very similar game that we saw on Saturday for this upcoming Saturday. Culver's about to coat Kluve an extra $10 every Sunday when the kid is here. Need it. Need it, Grain. I've been looking for the Culver sponsorship since I was in at Iowa. I lived on the south side, right by Hudson's, where we do the post-game show, right by the where the old Paul's used to be, RIP to Paul's. They got the, you know, you got the Arby's on the end of there, the Starbucks right there at the end of Riverside and Highway 1. And I would drive the old Cadillac, the 94 Cadillac, out to the Culver's on the way out of town as you go out to Walmart there. I frequented that place. They knew my name when I lived in Iowa City. And if NIL was a thing, bet your ass I would have been looking for that Hot Fudge Sunday sponsorship deal. Hell, I would have come out of the tunnel dressed as a Hot Fudge Sunday, as a Butterburger, a cheese curd. I would have rolled out of the tunnel as a cheese curd for an NIL sponsorship just for one free meal a week. I'm not expensive. Don't forget to leave the timeouts. Fantastic, Jordan. Fantastic. You're right. We might need all the timeouts. And why not? Why not use them? That was one of those t-shirts where we wanted to make that t-shirt and the walk-ons are not fast enough. Ray Gunn and fucking what's-his-face. DUI guy. Hawkeye Heaven. They jumped on it. That's so disrespectful that I know him as DUI guy too, but like everyone just shits on him for that. So it's literally the first thing that comes to my mind. What do we got here? What was your favorite Iowa Minnesota moment as a player? That's a good one, because a lot of those games, they weren't the high profile games, but they did matter a lot. I don't know if it was as much as it had to do with Minnesota. I'll give you two. My biggest learning moment as a player against Minnesota was my first year starting, when we got our asses clapped up there on like a 34 degree day. It was 52-7 or whatever it was. Back then we were still running the spread style punt, right? Which is a weird name given that the formations nowadays look more spread out, but they're actually called shield. And back then it used to be called spread. The reason it was called spread is because at the snap of the ball, it kind of looked like a flying V. All the guys on the line would kind of line up at each other's hip and create this like very slight V. And then as the ball was snapped, they would kind of set back in a spread motion to create the wall. Anyway, in that formation, the long snapper has to stay in and block, right? That was what we ran for 2014, my first year. 15, 16, and 17, we said, hey, we're not doing this. We're not doing this anymore. We're going to go new style, modern. Kluver, you get to fucking release, run downfield, act like you can tackle somebody. But in 14, I had to stay in and block. And there was a lot of times where your boy didn't get there. I did not even touch the person that I was supposed to block, and other people were having to absorb my assignment. One of those times was in Minneapolis, and Connor Kornbrath, thank the Lord, was the punter that year. He was 6'7". He still is 6'7", wherever he is. I think he lives in West Virginia now, or Florida or something. I threw one high. He went up and got it, but it made the operation time slower. They ran a twist on me. I whiffed. They went right through. Connor barely got it off. They got a tip on the ball. So not only did I snap it high, slow down the operation, and miss my guy, I basically did everything wrong on that play. And that was a big learning moment for me of like, okay, I got to get my shit together. That was like right in the middle of the season. There were some other things going on outside of just my play on the field at that moment, there's some other things going on where I had to figure out my fucking life. That was more of like a learning moment. The cool moment was 2015 in the blackout unis, of which I bought my uniform. You guys as fans always, the first time you got to see the uniforms, or the fans got to see those uniforms, was in the hype video that drops 2 hours before kickoff. Well, that was a night game. Most people, I think it was a 6 p.m. start, most people were tailgating or in Iowa City or around the stadium by 4 p.m. So not a lot of people got to see it because phone service isn't great. A lot of people aren't even on their phones during the tailgate in the couple hours before. And so the first like viewing of the fans getting to see us in the alternate uniforms was when the specialists roll out 88 minutes before kickoff. And a lot of the students had already filed in. A lot of the fans had already filed in. And what they call it in WWE is a pop, right? When somebody comes out or their music comes on and they make their entrance, it's the crowd pop. Like how loud do they cheer, stand up, start going nuts? We got a pop. And it was dark. It was a beautiful October night. It would have been November, but it was still warm. And the pop was crazy. And I felt, it was one of those moments where you feel like, damn, like I'm special. I'm important. Like people think I'm cool. They didn't. I was just the guy in the jersey at the time. But that was my favorite memory as a player. Single digits. You know, go to Bink with the single digits, referencing the weather that's coming on Saturday. Anyone who shows up at that game and goes and cheers for the Hawks in person, gosh, you blessed souls. Good for you. Good for you. They don't have DeJean. You're right. We're the only ones that have a Cooper DeJean in the country right now, and boy, do I live off of what John Miller says? No. No, I think... the last couple times, I just saw that he posted a couple good stats that were interesting. One of them was based off of like a yards per play thing, and then the other one was about the weather. Caleb, don't go there, buddy. Don't go there. You're one of the most active fucking people in our Discord, living off of 328-year-olds. Gonna come at me for living off of another podcaster who's been in the Iowa space for 30 years. Watch it now. All opinions are my own. I just like bringing up other stats. Yeah, this is a real possibility here. Nick Barton from YouTube says, beat Minnesota, then do the most Iowa thing ever and win a nail biter versus Nebraska. You would think we could handle Nebraska. Funny, by the way, that not that anyone gives a fuck, but they aren't going to a bowl game again. Again. It's amazing. Heard this stat from somebody at the tailgate the other day. Nebraska is the team that has the longest time period without a bowl game in the Power Five right now, because Kansas is bowl eligible this year, and yeah, it was them before Nebraska, and now Nebraska holds that title. Isn't that awesome? I don't remember the last time they went to a bowl game, but whenever that was, they hold the longest streak in the Power Five. Coldest game ever for a Hawkeye team. I don't know. I wonder if you can search that kind of thing, right? Coldest Iowa Hawkeye football game. Really? Okay, so here it says, the coldest game ever in Kinnick remains Iowa versus Michigan 2013. I was there. It was cold as hell. 18 degrees, wind chill around zero. That checks out. I was fucking freezing. That was awful. So that's the coldest game ever in Kinnick. But of course, you only play, you know, 60% of your games in Kinnick. So I don't know. You'd have to think that some game at Minnesota or at, I'll tell you what, the game at Nebraska in 2015, I don't know if it was because I had duties that game and I didn't get to wear a coat. And I also was a dumbass and decided to wear no sleeves. But that 2015 Nebraska game felt colder than the Michigan game. Both games, absolutely miserable. I don't know. It appears to be that is at least the coldest game in Kinnick. 18 and 0 with the wind. Fucking awful. Are the Matthew Stubb? There's like 14 ways to say your last name. Are the walk-ons fans of shower beers? Two guys named Chris aren't, and I'm shook. Tell you what, man. The only person that's going to be a fan of a shower beer between the three of us is going to be Kevin. Kevin's more of a classier guy. You know, he'll drink a beer at a tailgate, right? But I think when he drinks casually outside of sporting settings, I think it's usually like whiskey or bourbon or something fancy like that, red wine. He's a member of high society. Drake does not drink, and I do not drink. I do understand the idea of a shower beer for those who really love beer. Get yourself a nice cold one and then crank a warm shower. And the contrast of that feeling has got to be like, I don't know, stimulating. I don't, but it is interesting that that Chris Williams had not heard of that. I just listened to that podcast while I was on the Peloton earlier. It's funny that he doesn't know what a shower beer is. The weather is going to be higher than my A and P grade. I don't know what is A and P, CJ? With Bruce expected to return. This is Cooper from YouTube. No way they take Coop off of punt return duties, correct? It's a great question. The KF made a really good point about this in the post game show the other night. Coop obviously did really, really good things as the returner the other day. I give a lot of credit because I got it. Again, I hate to brag about this isn't a brag. I was in the press box, so I had an amazing view of all of the special teams plays. It's a great way to watch special teams if you have the eye of what you're looking for. The punt return team, the other 10 guys, did a phenomenal job of setting up the returns, blocking the guys they were supposed to block. Usually Cooper is one of those guys. He's on the gunner. Those gunners are usually the two that come down and make the play. He's really good at that and setting up Arlen Bruce. It could have been a little bit lucky that some of those balls came down early. He had a lot of space and the return team was doing well. I think Arlen makes a lot of those same plays, honestly. Arlen hasn't had that much space like Coop did the other night. But clearly, Coop has a knack for the ball. It would be tough to take him out of that spot. There were no issues with the punt return game the other day, so maybe leave it as is. I don't know. That's tough. That's why we've got LeVar Woods. Sure, he'll make the right call on that. I trust LeVar. Is Keegan Johnson transferring? We speculated that, Nick, on the show 2 weeks ago, last week or 2 weeks ago. And it sounds like no. It sounds like they asked Copeland about it, and he said he's working harder than anybody to try and get back, and that it's been a legitimate injury process, and he just has not been ready to go, and that there's a potential bowl game return for him. This is going to be a redshirt year for him. So at the beginning of the season, I would not sign up for, hey, let's redshirt Keegan Johnson this year. Like, obviously, I wanted him to play and do well and be a weapon. Given the circumstances, though, and let's make the assumption that he stays at Iowa, he gets another year, right? Now he gets to use the redshirt year that he didn't get to take advantage of because he was ready to play so early. Is he going to be gone after another 2 years of playing anyway, wherever he is, whether it's at Iowa or somewhere he transfers? Probably. Hopefully it's Iowa, and I actually, if I had to bet, am leaning that it is still Iowa. I think Keegan's going to stay and play. You got to remember, yes, you can go and get more catches and things other places, but if you're going to a spot that does that, there's a lot more competition. And right now, Keegan is our guy, especially because we lose Nico next year, right? And the Iowa's, you know, we know what the Iowa receiving room is. It's not Alabama where you've got Jerry Jeudy and fucking Jalen Waddle. You're not cranking out guys like that. So Keegan is our guy if he stays, and he knows that. Thoughts on Minnesota's O-line? They're a good O-line. Fleck, as weird and fake Gervash Juice as he is, They have built something over there at Minnesota that isn't something that can just be stepped on. You know, at the end of the Jerry Kill era, they were maybe getting to that spot. And a lot of people thought that it would take a while for Minnesota to compete. You can pull the receipts on this, and I may. I was one who said within 3 years, I thought Fleck would have them competing for a Big Ten West title, and it, literally their third year, they won 10 football games. So they're not bad, and they're recruiting a lot of the same kinds of people. Farm guys, Minnesota and Wisconsin and Nebraska are the three other teams that go and get big farm kids that, to play offensive line. They've got a decent offensive line. John says, Minnesota's backup QB, from what I've been told, is a way better athlete, but not a great decision maker. Well, fuck, I hope he plays then. I'm not worried about better athletes. Look at our defense. They're not going to out-athlete us. Mo Ibrahim, great athlete. A couple of their linemen, probably good athletes. I'm sure they got some good receivers. They're, and that's the thing too is, you know, I know we lost by 50, but you go back to that Ohio State game, they had better athletes everywhere. And our defense is athletic as hell. And we were still stuffing them, making them kick field goals like four times in a row. Our defense is built to handle athletes. What our defense doesn't struggle with, but does have a slight weak point at, is when you have a really, really good decision maker who can, for 60 minutes, just dink and dunk and not get a little frisky with the long balls or trying to go deep across the middle or trying to test somebody. That's where the Iowa defense will suffocate you. They wait for, they're like a fucking, I don't know, like a hyena in the Saharan desert. They just wait in the weeds. They're going to let you do what you want to do. And then when you let your guard down, it's over. It's over. What a horrific throw by Graham Mertz, by the way. I mean, that wasn't even hard. Coop didn't even have to work for that. I hope they play the backup. The worst potential person you could have up against Iowa's defense is somebody who isn't a good decision maker. I hope they play him. Is Tanner Morgan hurt? I know he went out. He hurt his leg a couple weeks ago. This is facts. This is facts from our guy on YouTube, Goto Bink or Gato Bink. PJ Fleck's entire personality is that of a little brother. Maybe. Yeah, I think you're close there. Let's see. I'm sure you guys love me just clicking my lips in the... How is Fleck going to row the boat across a frozen pond? Maybe he gets a push. He just picks up a lot of speed. There was a shot of you at the toolbox game. Were you watching volleyball on your phone, and how bad did Lauren not want to be there? That's a fair question. Fair question. I was not watching volleyball on my phone. I watched a little bit of volleyball yesterday. I actually watched volleyball instead of the end of the Bill, the overtime of the Bills-Vikings game. Because Lauren turned it to the Nebraska volleyball game, and I didn't have really a dog in that fight. Incredible ending of regulation to that game, though. At the toolbox game, So, we were selling flags. The only reason I was on my phone was I was tweeting out updates of the game. And two, some people were paying with Venmo or PayPal. And I was checking to make sure the money went through. And then giving people their flags. So, that was why I was on my phone. Sick time at the toolbox game, though. Absolutely unbelievable. Kluver, Culver, close enough. Seems like a good deal, right? Seems like they would jump on that one. Cheese curds is in here. Talked about cheese curd earlier. DUI guy. I'm way back here in the comments, just like so behind. Live from Estella's Fresh Mix. Dude, Estella's though plays bangs. You got your jersey? Let's go. Yeah, it's kind of a let's go until you go back and look at what I paid for it. That's unfortunate that they made us buy our own jerseys back. How about this? We get to wear a jersey. We didn't have our name on it. So what we thought was, oh, okay, they're not putting our names on the back of this alternate, so they're probably going to use them again. Did you guys see them used in the last 7 years? They sat in the fucking closet for 7 years. The football team sold them to the surplus store, and the surplus store just sold 150 jerseys at, I think the average probably came out to somewhere between $200 and $300 a pop. And one person got to wear that jersey. Give it to the players. I emailed the surplus store and was like, hey, is there any way I can get the 97 at like minimum price? Or is there any way like you can guarantee me that jersey? I wore it. I'm the one who gave value to it. Now, that's a little bit much. Like, talk about narcissistic, but I happen to be the one that wore the jersey. Could I get my jersey? No response. Zero response. Just completely ignored it. Like, yeah, we're not going to entertain this. Let's see here. Murillo, common participator in the YouTube, the live stream shows. When I was at the Iowa Michigan game, it was damn near 15 degrees, wicked, couldn't feel my feet. Dude, feet is the issue, right? So the hand warmers that you shake, I probably should do that motion more on the podcast. And then you like put in your gloves or what, you just put them in your pocket and you hold on to them. I guess they make like an insole version for your shoe now. I saw somebody at the tailgate at Ward's tailgate the other day put one in their shoe. That's crazy. I should have come up with that idea. That game was cold as shit. Kluver was sleeveless. You know I was. Oh, on the pod, you talked about this from Trish on YouTube. On the pod, you talked all about how KF had it back in the day, speaking for female fans, that Silver Fox. He's still a good-looking guy. You're right, Trish. Good-looking dude I think he's 65 or 66. We looked that up earlier in the year. Should be, right, though? Like, he's got the resources to stay good-looking, although under a lot of stress. Stress is, like, one of the biggest factors in aging and like health issues. So good for him for managing that and staying, you know, like he's still on top of it. Looks better than a lot of other 65-year-old dudes. Shout out to Mary for locking that down, you know? Dude, I would love nothing more. This is from Wiebke on YouTube. Let's take the goalposts out of Kinnick North this year and dump them in the Coralville Lake. That would be one hell of a trip back. I'm not sure how you're going to transport it. We could get I know a couple guys with some semis. We could probably do it. Good luck taking the post, though. I'm pretty sure it was after that Iowa took the post from Minnesota in what? Tell me what year it was. I'm not the history buff. I'm pretty sure that's when they started implementing. Like the Iowa game specifically was part of the implementation of, hey, we need to get some more secure, like, posts in the stadium. Or for a while, didn't they like immediately take them down after the game and like haul them into the tunnel so that no one could get to them? I don't know. Crazy. Anatomy and physiology. Yeah, those classes, it's tough, CJ. Been through that. Been through both those classes. Didn't go to them a lot. But been through them. Do the washed up walk-ons care to comment on a good shower crank? My goodness. A good shower crank. Yeah, man. What was the question? Cooper is still listed as punt return on depth chart. There you go. They'll probably run with that. I miss watching, this is from Trev, I miss watching DeJean and Roberts both at Gunner. That was elite. Man, I really do miss Terry Roberts, and it sucks that he has had to deal with injuries. He missed the bowl game last year because of it, and then he's missed a lot of this season because of it. Not only that, but we've had to, I mean, fortunately we're deep, but we've had to step up and use Castro and DeJean at corner. And again, next man mentality, always find somebody to step in and be a guy. Do you guys know Desmond wasn't even supposed to be the starting corner in 2013? We came in. He was in my class. Desmond started for 4 years, right? He was a starter from day one. He actually wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be Reese Fleming. And Reese got hurt or something. And like we had to put Desmond in there. And then Desmond never looked back. It's crazy how many times a backup on defense specifically, just because defense is a little bit more reactionary and feel-based, how they get in there and you just figure out that they're a football player. And it happens a lot on the defensive side of the ball. Less offensively, because you have to deal with scheme and there's more timing stuff involved. Crazy stuff. The reason Drake isn't here, by the way, and I was going to talk about this, but we're 37 minutes in and it took this long to get to it, is Drake's having a colonoscopy right now. A colonoscopy and an endoscopy. That might not be even be a procedure. It is. Endoscopy. I know what a colonoscopy is. An endoscopy is a procedure used in medicine to look inside the body. The endoscopy procedure uses an endoscope to examine the interior of a hollow organ or cavity of the body. Drake is getting cavity searched to the max right now because he has digestive issues. And that is currently where he is. Let's see here. Any thoughts on Caden Proctor's visit to Oregon? Honestly, it was probably to go see Kyler Casper, because they made them and Xavier Wampa kind of made friends as in the recruiting trail last year. Go and see another stadium that he'll probably never get to as a Hawkeye or just as a human, all the way on the West Coast. Do a little traveling, take advantage of an opportunity. I don't think it's going to lead to anything. Am I counting it out that there's absolutely no way he could decommit and end up going to a school like that? Here's the thing. And Oregon's good this year. I get that. But if I'm Caden Proctor, let's think this through a little bit. If I'm Caden Proctor, is Oregon the school that I decommit from Iowa for? Probably not, right? Probably not. Georgia, Bama. Somewhere else, probably. That's just my thoughts. That's from Nicholas Hutchins on the YouTube asking about Caden. The inside info on who number 11 was. So evidently this kid's name is Cade Hennigan. Several people said, like DM'd me and was like, hey, this is who this kid is. Cade Hennigan. His dad played 6 years or something like that as a linebacker in the NFL, and then went on to coach at multiple places. So like athletic genes, right? And just must be some kid who decided, I'm not going to, because he's clearly athletic, right? Clearly has speed and ball skills and like played football in high school. Very clear. So I imagine that, and he's into it, right? He's dedicating a fuckload of time to being an Iowa manager. Unbelievable the amount of time that they donate to the players and to the coaches, the staff, the program in general. Unbelievable. Unsung heroes. And I guess his dad was a stud. I think his brother played somewhere in college, and he must have just been like, yeah, I'm just going to go to college and be a kid at Iowa and just ball out all over Wisconsin's manager squad, because the plays that this kid was making, both offensively and defensively, and it wasn't just him. Our managers have some athletes on the team. Like, it's impressive. Drake doesn't even know things that happen like in the world. He doesn't watch the news. He doesn't have Twitter, although he said he's going to get back on since Elon bought it, which doesn't make any sense. It changes nothing. He would be the last person to even know that the jerseys were up for auction. I told him way back when they like first went up. Other than that, he probably forgot about it. Favorite jersey you wore at Iowa? Easy. It's the Ohio State one. I think to this day, it's the best alternate that Iowa's ever worn. And maybe I'm biased. I mean, I guess I am biased on that, but I've heard that from a lot of people on the outside, a lot of players who did not get to wear that jersey. I think that's, and then you combine that with the fact of what happened that day, and that alternate specifically just has something to it. I'd love to see him bring it back or in a similar fashion. Did you wear glasses when I was playing or contacts? Contacts. I wear glasses during the day most of the time. But when I was playing, I was contacts every day. Connor Beattie in the fucking chat. Let's go. Boys and girls, Connor Beattie. Fuck, he's a three-point legend. This kid, he's a few years younger than me. So, Connor, you're probably 25. And nobody, I swear to God, nobody put more time in at the YMCA than Connor Beattie did. And, you know, Connor, you weren't blessed with, like, LeBron, like, you and I both, not blessed with great genetics to go on and play basketball in college. But Connor could outshoot any. Connor, perfect. He is Austin Ashe. Connor Beattie is the Marshalltown Austin Ashe. Can just absolutely light it up. 2002 game. I thought so, Tyler. When they took those goalposts down. Scary Terry. Yeah, right? Like, Jordan here on YouTube says, how did I forget about Scary Terry? Literally, we've forgotten about Keegan and Terry. Both. Like, when they don't play for weeks on end and no one really asks about them because the offense is so atrocious that that's where all the questions are directed, you literally forget that, like, two of our players are... Not totally forget, but it goes to the back of the mind. Like, holy shit, we're missing two elite dudes. Build Drake's gut hut at the U. I don't know. Oh boy. Now I'm to the point in the comments where we're talking about the endoscopy and the colonoscopy. Oh wow, I had one this year. It was only like 10 to 15 minutes, but that is 15 minutes of my life I never wanted to experience. Prayers for our boys' guts and colon. Yeah, man, I hope they figure it out. His digestive system and his stomach, I mean, like, evidently, and anybody who listens, to DHT, we've talked about it multiple times, but Drake legitimately wakes up every day in, like, pain, like stomach pain, and has, like, he calls it war. He goes to battle with the toilet like every morning, and I'm not going to get any more detailed, but like, it's sad. Like, that's really tough to deal with, especially as like a 28-year-old. And they cannot figure out what's wrong. He went to all these doctors in Nashville when he was living back there. Crazy. CJ Smith, again on YouTube. Would you consider doing a Michigan 2016 look back, kind of like you did the Ohio State look back a few weeks ago? We could definitely do that. People really, really enjoyed us walking back through that Ohio State game. I think game walkthroughs like that, where we kind of commentate through our memories of a game, literally play one to buzzer on the clock. I think we could do that on some of our bigger games. We could go back and do the Michigan game, is obviously the other big game that we played in our career. Probably don't want to do the Rose Bowl, but Wisconsin 2015, not as exciting drive to drive, a lot of punts in that game, but a big game. Some other big ones we could go through as well. Connor says, you got the athletic genes, bro. Todd was the best gym teacher ever. Damn right, man. Todd was a legend gym teacher. He still is a gym teacher, just not at the high school anymore. He's over at the middle school. I'll say this, Connor. I am maximizing my athletic potential for what I was given at 5'10 and sort of my genetic lineup. Everybody's praying for Drake. I'm going to have to text him after this and tell him that he got a bunch of shout outs for people hoping that his colon's okay. Connor was in Zach's grade. He's actually 23. He's 23. When will the washed up walk-ons do an away game tailgate? That's really tough. Brandon Walker on Facebook asked that question. So here's the deal. The last away game that I went to for the Iowa Hawkeyes was the Pinstripe Bowl. I don't think I've been to an away game since I've graduated. There's just not a lot of, I'm not that guy. Like, I know I took shit for this a couple weeks ago. Well, it just makes no sense. I get it. It makes no sense. I run a show on Iowa football with, and I played for Iowa football, and it's with two other Iowa football former players. I personally, you guys are all bigger fans of Iowa football than I am. I'm not going to be the guy who like drives to Champaign or Evanston or Minneapolis or Camp Randall and like sets up a tailgate and makes a weekend out of that. It's just going to be very rare. And I'll tell you what, I'm having a kid in 5 weeks, and with a kid, it's going to be even less likely, right? Everybody knows that like the likelihood of you being able to do something drops once you have a kid. Doesn't mean it can't happen. Could easily plan like a week, you know, grandma and grandpa take the kid and Lauren and I and Kevin, we get ourselves there. But even then, it's going to be just Kevin and myself. We have to find a spot to tailgate, coordinate it. It's just probably not going to happen. Here's the deal too. The away games, because I do post-game radio show, it makes it real hard for me to go because I have to be either in Iowa City or in Des Moines to do the post-game show after Dolphins done. So can't do that right now. More hearts for Drake. Nicholas Hutchins. Didn't know you were from Marshalltown. Tyler Pershong was a stud back in the day. That is an understatement. That is an understatement. Tyler Pershong, for anybody, this is some Marshalltown history. So we'll probably drop half the viewers here. But hey, let's dive into the Marshalltown history of athletes here for a quick 3 minutes. Tyler Pershong graduated in 2007 from Marshalltown High School. At the time of his graduation, his junior and senior seasons, he had just set the all-time Iowa record for single season, back-to-back season, single season passing yards for any school in Iowa. That includes 4A down to 8-man. I mean, an 8-man, they throw for like 900 yards a game. He had the record. Chance Creekmer came along 2 years later and set a bunch of records. Not a bunch of records, but was balling, and we went to the state championship game and lost Iowa City City High in 2009. Then, the next year, 2010, I was a sophomore. We were ass. We got our asses whooped by Amara Darbo and Dowling, right? Tyler Pershong had just literally 3 years ago set all these records in Iowa that we thought, like, oh, no one's breaking that. Beat James Vandenberg's record, or like was in a battle with James Vandenberg around that same time. Yeah, that was about the same time. And then my best friend, Blake Gimble, comes along and in his junior and senior seasons, throws back-to-back just shy of 4,000 yards 2 years in a row and breaks all of Tyler Pershong's records. Still has like what Gimble still has like a top 10 game, threw for 567 yards against Sioux City East. So yeah, Pershong was crazy. We had some crazy air raid offenses in the 2007 to 2013 era back at Marshalltown. Pretty fun. Kids like to tailgate. My kids won't. My kids will be working out. Anyway, can we get Albert Young on the pod? Yeah, man. I interacted with AY on Twitter. Somebody asked, it might've been you. There a couple of people were like, we need to get Albert Young on the podcast. He's very active on Twitter. Absolutely. Well, you guys know that we try to do guest episodes once we get to the off season, kind of focuses the content a little bit. It allows us to do more game focused stuff during the season. And Albert Young has absolutely been added to the list that I have on my other. I have a double screen here. I have a long list on the podcast document of people that we want to get to. I could read you some of those people. Larrick Jackson, DeMarco again, Broderick Binns, Chick Eziagi, Carmen Tebby, who was the therapist. She wasn't a therapist. She was like the psychologist that the team worked with. Wanted to get Zach Van Valkenburg on. Ivory Kelly Martin, Linderbaum, Hesse, Hawkinson Fant, Matt Hawk, who played at Dowling and then Arizona State, And then the Bills and the Dolphins and the Colts. Trent Taylor, Kittle again, Shudak, my brother, Renfro, Hitchens, Nick Neiman, Kirksey, James Ferentz, Andrew Stone, CJ Beathard. I mean, Albert Young is the bottom of the list. He's the most recent name. But all those people. Claiborne, dude, you don't want a podcast with Claiborne. And it's not because of the amazing things that he could talk about. It's because the man does not talk. He came and was a honorary captain for us 1 year. And his speech to the team, the honorary captain always gives a speech to the team the Friday before. I would say on average, it's 10 minutes. Some people go longer, 15, 20. He got up there and spoke for 40 seconds and was nervous as fuck. I mean, the biggest, like, most intimidating guy. He was still playing at the time. He was on a bye week. Biggest intimidating guy on the field, will run through you and block a punt and go score a touchdown. Gets up in front of a bunch of guys that are younger than him that are like, looked at him as a hero. And he was nervous as hell and could barely even talk. It was crazy. He is active on Twitter, but when he has to public speak, he is not about that. Poor guy. Flan Squad Gaming on YouTube says, and here I was my junior and senior year watching my high school team win one game. Fuck Marion football. It's tough over there. Linmar just takes all of the people, and then Marion. Or don't you guys? Is that what you're talking about? Is Linmar Marion, or is it a different Marion? Who knows? Think you could convince CJ Beathard to come on? This is he's been one of the guys. I mean, he is close with Drake. He's a huge, obviously friends with Kittle. Very close to us when we played, but he was always just this kind of guy that like kind of kept to himself. And like I respect the hell out of CJ. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would like to get on and talk for an hour about himself, if you know what I'm saying. I think there's a chance we could get him on, but he's probably not going to be the first one that comes on in the offseason, if I'm being honest. Anger was one of my favorite guests. He was like one of our first guests too. Have wanted to get him on for a second, third, fifth, 10 episodes more. The problem with Pat is when all that shit went down in 2020, that fucked him up a lot. He was close with Doyle, and I don't know how many of you have followed the Doyle thing recently, but turns out he didn't do any of that stuff that was alleged. Specifically, the specific intentional racial discrimination. Didn't do any of it. Came out in deposition. Might be doing a podcast on that at some point. And a lot of people knew that. A lot of people knew that. Couldn't really say anything about it or give your thoughts on it. But Pat knew that and knows that Doyle is a good guy. Not just a good guy, but an insane dude. And would do anything for any of his players that have given him effort, black, white, or purple. And that fucked Pat up when all that went down. And he, sort of like Drake did this year, taking himself off of the main show so that he didn't just have to shit all over the offense every week, Pat was refraining from coming on the podcast because he knew that he would open his mouth and say something stupid about that whole situation. So, but we will get him back as we get further and further away from that. I think we can get him on and talk about plenty of other stuff. Let's see. 2020 made me big sad. It made a lot of people big sad. That's for sure. Don't even get me started on Doyle, a tragedy for the whole Hawkeye community. A lot of people. Yeah, that was a tragedy. Might even be, now that it's coming out, and again, no one's really following it because there's 500-page court documents and it's kind of under the rug. No one gives a shit now because if he just was a good person the whole time and he didn't actually do anything, that's not a story, right? That's not going to get clicks. But yeah, the fact that his reputation and his job and all that just came crashing down because a couple dudes wanted to hop on a look at me train and take away from a from an actual mission where there was some stuff in the program that probably could have changed and some stuff that Doyle was a part of, right? As one of the people in that program, but not had nothing to do with Chris Doyle specifically. It's a fucking travesty. It's a travesty. Matt Roth on the pod. Now that's a guy who we might just be able to let fucking go. And DJK, Craig coming with the fire guest suggestions. Craig, we might get DJK as well. That one's interesting. That one's interesting. Appreciate you guys being here today. 57 minutes into this thing. Again, if you caught part of it and you want to listen to the whole episode, we talked a lot about, you know, the Wisconsin game and some of us looking ahead earlier in the episode, the Big Ten race and all that stuff. I was still being having a chance to get to Indianapolis. Go back and listen to this. It will be posted on the podcast feed. If you're part of the Patreon, it will be posted probably. It might be posted tonight, honestly, right after I get done, if it spits out the file quick enough. Otherwise, it will 100% be posted tomorrow. You can listen to the whole thing. There will be no ads on it. Ad-free listening at Patreon, plus all the other perks. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. The next walk-on Patreon guest episode will probably be once we get done with the season here and we're in the middle of bowl prep. Hawks are going to be going to a bowl game now. There's going to be 5 or 6 episodes in between the championship weekend. We'll probably go through championship weekend with just normal sort of in-season style episodes. There will be 5 or 6 episodes between that and when the Hawks play a bowl game where we're going to need stuff to talk about. We will probably bring a guest or two on during that time. And then obviously once the bowl game's over and we get into the new year, it's as many guests as we can bring on. We only want guests if we can get them. Yeah. If you aren't on Patreon, you suck. I agree, John. I agree. That's the best way to leave this thing off. And Trev says, bye, Kluver. Appreciate you. I appreciate all of you guys for showing up, continuing to listen to the podcast, continuing to support us. It's all for the kids and for entertainment. It's for laughs. It's for jokes. No one tells us what to do around here. We like to have fun and just be a positive light in the Hawkeye community. Thank you guys so much. We will see you on Thursday for the main episode. Until then, peace.